In today's episode, Tesla introduces, finally, the $35,000 Model 3. Let's get ludicrous. Hello and welcome to Our Ludicrous Future. This is the podcast where we talk about all the cool tech stuff that is changing our lives today to make the future totally crazy and ludicrous. I am Joe Scott with the Answers with Joe YouTube channel. With me is Tim. No! Tim isn't here!
What?
With me is Ben Sullins.
Tim. What's up, guys? It's Ben Sullins from Teslanomics. And yeah, we are Timless today. And,
we are sans Tim.
We'll have to soak them all up next week. In fact, maybe next week it's just him. So
yeah. So well, just to jump in, I mean, the big news right now is the Tesla, they introduced their $35,000 Model 3. So kind of that's mostly what we're going to be talking about today. We're probably going to be talking all SpaceX stuff next week because of the Crew Dragon going up. That's where Tim is today. He's in Florida doing his rock star nerd thing. And so in his absence, we're going to be talking about Tesla stuff.
Yeah, not a bad time to be talking about it either. As you mentioned, the $35,000 Model 3 is officially available for sale. There were a lot of additional updates there. If we just want to run through them real quickly. And if you guys are watching on YouTube, you'll see this as soon as my browser comes up. And if you guys are listening, I'll try to kind of narrate here. But yeah, you can now order the standard range Tesla Model 3, which has 220 miles of range. Let me just pull it up on the computer here. Not Teslanomics.com, Tesla.com. And there were several other additions of the vehicle release. So it's not what we had before plus this new addition. It's actually several other additions, including a partial premium update. And so this one, in addition to the standard range battery, it's called Standard Range Plus. It has a partial premium interior, which they do have details on here. So the standard interior is just it has manual seat and steering adjustments, which I am very curious to see. Cloth seats and base trim, which we kind of knew. There were actually Model S and X vehicles that had that in the past as well. Basic audio, so fewer speakers, standard maps and navigation, so you don't get the real-time traffic updates, and I don't believe you get satellite imagery. Not sure how many.
But you still get like the Google Maps and the ability to navigate, though, right? I mean,
correct.
That's what the standard. Okay.
Yep. And then,
so it's just the traffic information that's missing there. I was kind of confused by that.
Yeah, traffic and satellite, I believe, are the two premium map features. And then you get the center console with the storage and the USB ports, but it does not include the smartphone dock. So as Joe and Tim and myself all have one that has the smartphone dock in the little kind of front part there on the center console, the standard does not include that. The partial premium interior does have power adjustable seats, and they're heated. So, you know, presumably that means that the standard one does not include heated seats, kind of a deal killer if you live in a colder climate. It has the premium seat material and trim, which, Joe, do you know if this is vegan leather or if it's regular leather? I believe that it's vegan, right?
I assumed it's the same thing that we have, which is that vegan leather. I mean, I have the premium interior, so.
Yeah, so I think the Franz had said the only thing that is not vegan in terms of the leather or the premium seat materials and stuff is the steering wheel. But you can opt for that. So you place an order and then you call in and tell them you want that. I don't know if that's available on the 3, though. They have upgraded audio. So this is the immersive sound package on the partial premium. Standard maps navigation still. You get LED fog lamps. And then you get the center console. This one does have the docking for the two smartphones. So standard range starts at $35,000. The standard range plus... what starts at 37,000 plus you get 20 more miles of range. So this is so I was on the press call with Elon, got to ask him a question, feel good about that. And he didn't just, you know, shut me down immediately. So that was, you know, I felt good. But
moving
anyway,
on up.
Yeah, it wasn't a who let this idiot on the call. it was a thoughtful response. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, so standard base $35,000, 220 miles of range. Standard range plus $2,000 more, all those added interior features, which are pretty good, and 20 more miles of range. So on the call, Elon had mentioned, like, he thinks this is probably the best deal of all of these, of all the options here. Then you go the next level to the premium interior, which is what anyone that has a Model 3 or seen a Model 3 so far has. I won't get into all those details. But it has, now you have mid-range and long-range, both of which are rear-wheel drive. And one of the updates there, so just to recap, at mid-range is 40,000 with 264 miles of range. The long-range rear-wheel drive is back. It is no longer discontinued, or it's not there. And it now has 325 miles of range, making it... Yeah, so we got an extra, what does that come out to, 5 or 6% or something like that?
It's 15 more than we had, whatever that comes out
15 more miles, yeah, 310 to 325. We're not good with numbers, guys. Help us out. Someone's yelling at
me. Hold on, let me pull up percentagecalculator.net to figure that out, because I don't want to have to actually think.
That's how bad we are. We can't even, we don't even know how to use the calculator to figure it out. We have to go to the website that just says, here's your answer, dummy.
Siri?
Yeah.
Oh, I just set off somebody's phone, sorry.
So 325 miles of range. This, I don't know if you caught that, Joe, now is the second longest range Tesla in existence.
Yeah. Yeah, so what is the Model S long range? It's 335.
Yeah. And yeah. I can tell you that honestly those last 10 miles are very rarely going to make any difference to you. And again, if you did the math, I haven't updated it, but last time I did this, even on the long range, this price, which is now $43,000, which is, I think, a lot cheaper than what me and you paid, Joe, for this car. This is by far the best value in terms of dollars per mile of range that you get, like bar none, like no one's even close to them in this space. Yeah.
So can I just can I just jump in real quick? So when I saw this yesterday, last night, I posted on Twitter. I posted lots of things on Twitter. Anybody who follows me on Twitter at Answers with Joe would have seen this. But I pointed out that well, first of all, so that this is basically the car that I bought. It's the long range, I guess premium interior rear wheel drive, and they discontinued it for a while, for a few months there. So for a few months, I was like, wow, they don't even offer the same car that I bought only 6 months ago. But now it's back, and it's $14,000 cheaper than what I paid for my car. Actually, I think if you want to be fair, to add in all the extra things that I ordered on there, it was like probably closer to $10,000 or $11,000. But it's $10,000 or $11,000 cheaper than what I paid, and it gets 15 miles further of range. And I was basically, I put out a tweet that was me saying, isn't this amazing, basically. Mm-hmm. But of course, so many people thought that I was complaining about it. And I got all these responses that were like, oh, boo hoo. And I'm like, dude, screw you. That's not what I was saying. I'm actually thrilled by this.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I got ripped off in any way. I'm totally happy with the purchase I made. But, you know, I spend so much time, and we spend so much time talking about like these trends of, the battery price is going down and the range getting longer, and you know, I'm not especially a genius about this. I just kind of like look at the information that's out there, and I listen to like Tony Seba and people like that, and then I report it, and then when you actually see it happening, and you know, the price going down $10,000 or $11,000 in 6 months, that's amazing to me. And so that's why I put that on Twitter, and of course a lot of people misconstrued what I was saying. I just had to like clear the air on that real quick. Yeah. It's not something I'm upset about at all. I think it's amazing and awesome. And anyway,
well, this should be $6,000 cheaper than what you paid, right? Because they were, I believe, 49,000, and now it's 43. So it shouldn't be that much of a difference. I mean, that's still.
I think I actually went different. Through and added all the accessories and all the, okay, the yeah. different options,
yeah,
and,
so,
and it came out to about the same.
Okay, yeah. So that's long range rear wheel drive with premium interior. Now is $43,000, and you should, according to Elon on the call, anyone that orders these now in the United States should get them before the end of June, which is an important date because that's the next time that the federal tax mm-hmm. credit takes a dive to a 50 additional percent drop from where it is today. So. That's yeah. a big deal. And then if you have state incentives, depending on where you live, you know, this actually could turn out to be a very affordable car. I would not be surprised if a lot of people that were waiting on the standard range $35,000 one don't order that one. They either order the $37,000 one with the partial premium interior, or they go all the way to this one here, because now this is a tremendous deal, I think. This is a great value. I mean, yes, it's not a cheap car for most people, but in this space and considering maintenance and fuel and all those things, like, this is going to be very, very efficient use of capital, I would say.
Well, and as you pointed out, there's only one car in the world, unless I'm wrong here, there's only one car in the world that gets a longer range. It's the higher end Model S, yeah. And that's like almost 100.
Well,
I mean, we can talk about that in a second, because those prices went down too. But,
So let's continue on here. So we have the long range dual motor. So this is if you need all wheel drive. People that live in colder climates absolutely recommend this. This is $47,000. So again, I believe this is a price drop from previous. As well as the dual motor performance model, so the performance Model 3 is $58,000. Again, you know, just a tremendous value. Like, I doubt you would be very hard pressed, I think, to find a car that has a top speed of 162 miles per hour, 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds, and is more fun to drive than this one at $58,000. I really doubt you could do it. Certainly there are cars with higher top speeds, quicker acceleration, but not for this price, not even close. So, really cool, stuff going on here. Just seeing that, you know, the price is coming down is fantastic. Now, you had mentioned that some of the other, options here had changed. The main option that changes under autopilot. So now, you no longer have, enhanced autopilot and full self-driving. And remember, they'd removed full self-driving for a while. Now you have autopilot, which only includes the ability to steer, accelerate, and brake automatically for other vehicles and pedestrians within your lane. So this doesn't include how to change lanes, I don't believe. This does not include navigate on autopilot, where it will automatically go from highway to highway kind of thing, interchanges and all that. It does not include auto park, where, you know, the car will parallel or perpendicular park for you, which I've not found to actually be that useful or prevalent. It also does not.
It really only works if you are parking between two cars.
And you have to
have. Even then, only sometimes.
Right. And you kind of have to have, in my experience, you kind of have to intentionally try to get auto park to come on. Like, it just, otherwise, to me, it just kind of comes on at random times. I'm literally like just backing out of my driveway and it wants me to like, you know, back into my house or something. Yeah. I'm like, what is this? Anyways.
And sometimes I'm stopped at a stoplight. It'll see a gap between the cars in the next lane and it'll be like, do you want a parallel park?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Right. So auto park, let's just throw auto park to the side for right now. And summon. So interestingly enough, there's a very nuanced thing here. Now, Elon has been talking about what they call smart summon, where as they list it here on the website, the car will come find you anywhere in a parking lot, as in your car is parked off, you know, in the distance somewhere in the parking lot. You come out of, you know, a restaurant or whatever you're doing, hit a button and it will come to you. That is super interesting. Because that to me is exactly like Batman. And I absolutely love this idea. So
you have a grappling hook on it now, so it can go up a vertical building.
So these three features used to be included in Enhanced Autopilot. They are no longer included in Enhanced Autopilot. These are now part of the full self-driving capability. And the Autopilot price dropped from $5,000 to $3,000. But if you want to get full self-driving, which includes those added features I just mentioned there, you have to get the $3,000 plus the $5,000 add-on for that, coming up to $8,000, which I believe was the original price of full self-driving anyways. So this is maybe where, Joe, that $14,000 difference or $12,000 difference or whatever you found was, right?
That might have contributed to it a little bit. I didn't get the full self-driving when I ordered. And so my question now is, all these things like summon, which is not all that smart yet, but in the navigate on autopilot and all that I've been able to do, is that going to go away now?
No, it is not.
I'm grandfathered in.
You are grandfathered in. Elon confirmed that on the call, and I would play that call helps. For you. However, they asked us not to share any of the audio from the call. So, but I can confirm, yes, that he did say that.
Okay, good.
So then that's pretty much it for the Model 3 in terms of the updates, the new pricing model, all that stuff. One of the really interesting things about how they were able to do this was they are now switching to all online ordering. So they're going to be closing a lot of the stores. It's funny, the press release kind of made it sound like that they're closing all of their stores. And there's a lot of news articles that are kind of citing it that way. But then on the call, Elon downplayed that. He said, oh, we'll be closing some stores, and obviously there will be a headcount reduction. But it's not like we're just closing up shop. And I'm paraphrasing there, so don't quote me through him on that. But so he kind of downplayed it, but that will reduce the headcount, you know, reducing costs, and will allow them to you know, continue to be more efficient, remain profitable, et cetera, et cetera. So that was a big announcement as well.
I wanted to ask you this real quick, because again, me being in Texas, and there's a whole different, you know, system over here because of the rules in Texas. Like, I didn't know if, and there's, you know, there's a couple of stores I've been to around here. Are there showrooms, I guess is what they call them,
right?
Actually.
Like education and that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was always wondering if it's that much different in other places, and maybe you can't answer that cause you haven't been to the Texas store, but, so, I mean, when we talk about them closing these stores, in my mind, I'm kind of like, I don't know how much that really affects them and how important that is, because they were so limited in what they could do in the stores that I had been to here in Texas anyway. So
right. And one added benefit by this, too, is also states like Texas and was it Michigan or something like that, that actually don't allow the direct sale to consumer of cars. It they don't have to worry about those issues anymore, because now you order online and that's still perfectly legal. So, it essentially, he said, you know, they're going to keep some stores open in key markets. I would imagine, you know, you'd have one in New York, in LA, you know, maybe Dallas or somewhere like that, like bigger cities. Like even in cities, like in California, we have gobs and gobs of Tesla stores, but there are flagship stores, essentially. So my guess would be, and this is a guess, that those flagship stores would remain open and the other stores will not. Who knows? You know, I would not be surprised at all if people that are in those sales roles are offered positions in the service side. Because one takeaway I had from Elon's comments were that we should see a noticeable improvement in service this year, and that is Elon's top priority, and the service department is now reporting directly to him. So I wouldn't be, to me, I mean, just from a business standpoint, like, hey, you have these salespeople, they already know the company, they know the cars, they've been trained, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you've already invested quite a bit in making them your employee. And you want to increase, you know, your service offering, to me, that would be a real easy, like, it would actually be more efficient to do that than to like fire them and then hire new service people, unless there was like an entirely different skill set or something that you need.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's smart to do that. And I always kind of felt like the stores, and again, I may be skewed having, you know, being here in Texas, but I always felt like the stores were more like a way for people to go in and see a Tesla when there weren't that many on the road. And now there's a lot more of them on the road, so maybe they feel like they don't need that that physical place for people to go to. They can just kind of see them on the road, which is kind of funny that they would take away the referral program too. You know, it seems like the referral program would tie into this whole, you know, idea of just letting the cars sell themselves.
Maybe they'll bring it back. Maybe they will. I mean, that was my, you know, I did a whole video on that where when you look at the spend, how much it would have cost them to get that much kind of free advertising, it's actually a great use of money. Even if they gave away 200 Roadsters, which is just crazy. But you know, it's a very interesting thing. So service levels should improve. That's a big thing. Reducing costs overall. And then now these models here, it's, you know, I think very exciting. There's a lot of negative press out there, but to me, this was all very, very kind of positive and exciting stuff.
Yeah.
So in addition to that, part of the cost saving thing, we now have actually some new battery models for the S and X. Did you see this?
I did.
Yeah. So let's go
look. And the prices have gone down for them too.
Yeah, and I think that's the so if you recall, it wasn't too long ago that the Model S and Model X, they got rid of the 75 kilowatt hour battery option, and then they got rid of the concept of a number tied to the model. So now It's standard range, long range, kind of everything is going in that space, and they're ignoring, you know, the actual amount of batteries in there, which is probably smart, because then that allows them to innovate on that without having to kind of, you know, oh, this one has 147 kilowatt hours or something stupid, right?
Yeah. It creates a cohesiveness across their line. So
right.
They're doing the same thing on all three.
Yeah. So here you go. So if we're on the Tesla homepage and we're going to order a Model S, the flagship vehicle for Tesla, I will add, for those of you that are unaware. see, Tim's not here to to fight with me on that.
Was it my job?
Model 3 is the best. Okay, so let's see. So now we have a standard range. There you go. That's better looking. Standard range Model S at 270 miles of range, 140 miles per hour top speed, and 4.20 to 60, which is still incredibly quick.
That's still faster than the long range Model 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's a very interesting explanation as to why. I'll give you the short version. The types of motors in the Model S and Model X are induction motors, and the Model 3 rear-wheel drive has what's called a reluctance motor. There's five other acronyms or five other words associated with that, but induction versus reluctance. And the reluctance motor, there's a lot of debate. I'm not an engineer, so don't, you know, get press on me too hard about this, but right now it's more efficient, but it's not as performant. So in fact, the performance Model 3, what they have in it is the reluctance motor, just like you and I have, Joe, and a smaller version of the Model S induction motor in the front to give it that added performance.
Cool.
So that's why S and X are just higher performant than the Model 3. That's kind of the tech behind it. Now, the argument that I said, the open debate is about whether or not software can fix this. And I think it can, but, you know, currently that's kind of the situation. So there you have it. Okay, so now you have standard range, long range, and performance for the Model S, starting at $79,000, which is not actually, I mean, again, it's a lot of money for a car, but what you get here is a lot. And if for people that don't understand the difference between, let's say, the standard range Model 3 and the standard range Model S, before the stores all close, I would encourage you to go in one and just have a look, and you'll see all the added bells and whistles and features that you get. Then you get the long range. So this previously was the 100D, and this is $83,000 for the Model S, and this has the 335 mile range, 155 top speed, 4.10 to 60. Then you have the absolutely bonkers performance. Oh, look at that. They added a ludicrous mode add-on. I did not know.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Ooh, that is very interesting. Why does it make it
slower? It's pretty pricey, too.
Oh, no. Yeah, well,
$15,000 for ludicrous mode.
Yeah, well, it used to be $10,000.
Okay. Well, still, it's more.
Yeah, but see, look at this. So this is fascinating, right? So $99,000 for the Model S performance, 315 miles of range, 155 miles per hour top speed, and 3 second 0 to 60. The Model 3 performance, substantially cheaper than this. What did we say it was? $58,000.
Yeah.
And it is a 3.2 second 0 to 60. And 162 miles per hour top speed with 310 miles of range. I mean, in terms of performance, again, you are not going to find a better value than the performance Model 3 out there.
That's a good metric to go by there, to look at this one and compare.
Yeah. Now, before people, new Tesla owners that have never had a Model S or a Model X and driven them and lived with them, I will say there are, I don't know, a dozen or so things about the Model S that are worth paying for and that do add to the price. So it's not like, you know, these cars are apples to apples, right? You're comparing a luxury best sedan ever made to arguably the most fun car to drive ever made, you know, outside of like a 911 or something like that. So pretty incredible, man. And then when you go, yeah, ludicrous mode, $15,000 upgrade, you're talking 2.4 seconds, 0 to 60. Now what you're looking at is a $115,000 car that compares to a $3 million Porsche 918 Spyder that is limited edition. So yeah, it's expensive, but you're in a totally different class now. You're completely outside of the any normal person would ever get. So yeah, so this is cheaper than it used to be. And the same goes for the Model X. And this is all related to closing the stores and saving money on overhead and all those kind of things. So good stuff, man. Becoming more and more affordable by the day.
So okay, so when I hear a firmware upgrade, my primitive ape mind does not understand. Does that mean that, because I know they do the software upgrades, then I hear a firmware upgrade. To me, that sounds like they have to actually do some hardware upgrades and actually put a different set of hardware in there.
No.
So it's a software upgrade.
It is a software upgrade, but the question is whether or not it will be an over-the-air update or if it will be a come-into-the-service-center update. Typically a firmware update is more lower level. So imagine like your phone, right? If you have an iPhone iOS, so you can update, you know, an app like your Tesla app, which is just a, you know, software update on top of that platform. Then there's like that platform getting an update as well. That's like an OS update. Then below that are firmware updates. It's like the software that runs the modem in your phone to connect to the cell network. Typically firmware is software designed for the hardware, not software designed for you to like interact with it, right? Yeah. Other software will interact with firmware, but typically a user doesn't interact directly with it.
Okay, so when they're talking about the long range going up to 325, this is very self-serving, I know, but like is my car now going to get 325 miles instead of 310?
Correct. Yes.
But we don't know if I need to actually take that into a service center to make that happen or if it's just going to be an over the air.
Yeah. Don't know that answer yet. Okay. And I would say I would guess that they are doing their best to try to make it an over the air update, because imagine the thousands upon thousands of them coming back to the service center, not something they need. But probably the key will be the size of the upgrade package, you know, like when you download a file and run it, because if it is, let's say, several gigabytes, that could take a long time to download and things go wrong sometimes during these installs, right? I know we tend to think of all of these cars as being identical, but I can tell you that there are many, many differences between every single one of these cars, you know, from the tint on the windows to the factory level of tinting and what they did, to all kinds of little nuances with the seats and other things. So every new Model 3 is essentially better than all the other ones previously created and just ever so slightly different. So when you do a big major firmware upgrade like this, it's typically a better idea to have a service technician there if something goes wrong.
Sure.
So we'll see. I hope they can do it over the air, but lots of questions there.
What I read about, correct me on this, but what I read was that they're able to get this extra range because they found new efficiencies that they could actually do software wise with the engine, or they were kind of, they have all this data that they've accumulated from all these cars that they've sold now, and they can actually look at and say like, okay, so there's actually more that we could get out of this engine than what we thought or something like that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea is, and this was part of Elon's answer to me for my question. the part of the idea is that, how these motors operate, because we may think of it as just like flipping a light switch, but there's a lot more going on there. Involved in the transfer of energy from the battery pack to you moving forward are several kind of main things that are happening, right? Like how to pull the energy out of the pack requires, there's like charges and switches and all kinds of stuff that do that. How much energy to actually be pulling at what rate, all those kind of things affect how, what later happens. And then when the motor starts spinning at whatever RPM, there are other weird effects and things that happen. And in fact, because it's a reluctance motor, again, it's kind of a newer technology. And the people I know that know about this 100 times more than I do say they love these motors and these are the best ones ever. But the software is still kind of developing to make them perform as good as they possibly can. So there's a chance that in the future, our cars will even become quicker on the 0-60 time. You know, so it's one of those things.
This is the magic of Tesla. Like that, no other car can do that. You can actually get more range out of it. You can get more power out of it. It actually can improve just by tweaking some lines of code. That's something I'm still always marveling at.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those things that's unique, right? Mm-hmm. And in fact, good segue into the question I asked Elon, and I was very thankful to be able to do that. It was kind of a moment of like they call your name, you're like, okay.
I'm blank, I forgot how to talk.
Like, can they hear me?
was this an accident?
Yeah. Anyways, so my question was kind of related to this. It was like, hey, look, I, as from a tech background, have, and this is the much longer version of the question, I, having a tech background, completely see Tesla not as just a car that has four wheels on it and gets me from A to B, but as a new type of platform that will support many different use cases. Think about the Tesla network in the future, the self-driving taxis and things like that. And a great testament of that is this upgrade of the range. That's incredible. Literally just, okay, it's better now. My car just got 5% better overnight. It cost me $0. Like, that's insane. So do you ever think or have you ever considered creating an app ecosystem so third parties can build apps on top of this platform? Mm-hmm. And then you can monetize that. Essentially, they can improve the user experience without you having to take on very little additional resources. And the answer was a firm no.
Oh, wow. Okay.
it was a firm, we've not considered that. We do not intend on doing that. And no, it'll probably never happen.
They really want to micromanage everything.
Well, I don't
control everything. That's a tough word.
The way Elon said it was that in order for that to make sense, you need to have tens of millions of users on the platform, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so he said, yeah, you know, if and when we get to tens of millions of cars out there, we may think of it. But right now, you know, all their engineering efforts are focused on getting to self-driving and improving things like, you know, range and efficiency of the motors and those kind of things. So it seemed to me like it's not a zero overhead. They don't just like write three lines of code and boom, you have an app store. Like, there is customer service, there's payments, there's how that whole thing works, how approvals and who gets approved to actually make apps for the car, how you test those apps if they don't interfere with other systems, whatever. So there's like this whole, there is a significant amount of overhead to it. And with only 530,000 or so cars on the road, that's just not nearly enough to support that kind of an effort. That's how I digested it.
I still feel like that's a big opportunity for them in the long run to do something like that.
I mean, I do too, but I also kind of think that there's not they're in no danger of someone like catching them at this. You know, it's
also, I have to bring it up. I don't know if you saw the Polestar 2 reveal.
The Volvo
this week?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah. Well, I watched it. It was interesting. And one of the things that kind of stuck out on this topic here is that they the car is basically integrated with Google Play. So like any app that's on Google Play, you can, well, I'm sure not any app, but it has to be something that works in the car. But like, Spotify was one thing that I noticed on there. It's like, I would love to have Spotify in my car. obviously I can do it through my phone, whatever, you know, first world problems. But it was just like integrated with Google Play. And so like any kind of app that's on Google Play, you could just like pull it up on your
car. No, that would be the easiest way to go about it. because then you don't, because there's already what, tens of millions of apps, it's already a thriving ecosystem, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that would be great. I don't know, Tesla might do something like that, but that's kind of not been their MO to this point.
I can definitely understand the, for lack of a better word, risks to and the need for like extra oversight to the apps that would pop up on a car. Because I mean, like, you know, whatever app you download onto your phone is not going to drive you into a tree, you know.
Right.
the stakes are a little bit higher in a car, to put it lightly.
Yeah, and I was talking to a buddy about that yesterday. So have you ever had it, Joe, where your car restarts while you're driving?
Not while I'm driving, but it's while I've been parked, it's happened.
Yeah.
In fact, a buddy of mine came into town. He lives in Denver or Boulder, and he's been wanting to see the car, and he came into town, and I went to pick him up, and like that was the moment it decided to just freeze on me, and I had to do a hard reboot. I'm like, seriously? Like, this never happened. It's happened like 3 times, and it's happened, you know, I had to do it when he was there. But anyway, yeah.
No, yeah, so that's happened to me a couple times, and the reason I bring it up is because that proved to me that the driving system, the accelerating, the braking, the steering, are not connected to that system. So you know,
well, good.
So even if you, and in fact through TesLab, when we were testing out our in-car dashboard, it's an in-car dashboard, but on the Model S and X it works. On the Model 3 it's kind of not great right now because the browser sucks, but in any event, you can bring up a dashboard from if you have TesLab installed, and it will show you things like a Doppler radar, it will show you Waze, it will, you know, show you all kinds of different stats and metrics about your trip that you're on at that moment. And it took a lot of testing for us to not crash the entire car because if you throw like 3 things on that browser, it just crashes the whole system. Like, you can still drive the car, as I'm mentioning, but like,
when
the
you
whole,
say crash, you got to be careful. You're not talking about like crashing the car, but like
it will reboot
the system.
The system. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. But you're just like, what? Like, why? So, yeah, I get it. After, you know, it was one of those moments where I had like probably 5 questions lined up. And when they called my name, I'm just like crapping my pants, like, and then that one was like the one that popped up, and I went. And then as he started to explain, basically like, yeah, they're like, it maybe that's way down on the priority list kind of a thing. Not like, you know, like, hey, there's all this other stuff that's way more important and a bigger deal, so we're going to go after that first. You know, it was one of those like, oh I should have known that. Thanks, Elon. You know,
that whole crap your pants feel, is that how Tim feels all the time?
Oh, I know, on Twitter. Because he's just always answering him.
He just says hi, and Elon says hi.
I know. What the question? So
what you doing, Tim? What you wearing?
The other question I wanted to ask, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Joe. So they publish safety statistics on Autopilot now, and they've been doing that for the past 2 quarters, I think. And it's essentially like how many miles people drove on Autopilot where there wasn't an accident. So like, how safe is it? Elon has, you know, said that he wants the service to be the main thing for him this year, and he wants to improve service. He wants it to be a delight, et cetera. And so the other question I was going to say is like, all right, well, are you going to publish stats on that? Like average wait times, average service appointments, like whatever, you know, and because I think that would be really cool for them to publicly share that data and say, hey, yes, it is getting better, because then, you know, we could empirically go to it and say, yes, like when a person has an issue, how big of an issue is that indicative of everyone else, or is that just like a anecdote? And not that makes them feel better, but just like the broader population. I think it'd be good if we had stats on service data, on service levels.
Well, and as a data guy, you know how unreliable anecdotal evidence can be,
100%
in the long run, because like one bad experience can outweigh 1,000. Good experience, because you expect things to go well, and so when they go well, it's not like it doesn't even register, but when something goes bad, then you know.
Yeah, you know, that's a good
blog
point.
Posts and there's social media and...
So on the call there were some other questions from other, you know, media people like myself.
You're so proud.
it's like a defining moment for the year.
Yeah.
All right.
You're like, come on, man. I'm waiting years for this.
Zach from Clean Technica, also a great blog, had a question about what is kind of the difference between the standard versus the partial premium interior. And Elon said something about there are more wrapped parts and less plastic parts. And so I assume what he means is probably the headliners and things like that, where it has a better feel to it. It has, you know, more material upgrades and those kind of things. And something that wasn't really discussed elsewhere was that all Model 3s get a glass roof with the infrared ultraviolet. So previously there was this idea that they would have a metal roof. But for whatever reason, it turns out just to be cheaper just to give them all glass. And obviously, I don't know, Joe, when people get in your car that have never been in one, I know when they get in mine, that's like one of the first things they notice. It like, is, whoa, yeah. Look at
it's
really...
the screen and it's the ceiling. And then once you start driving, it's the punch, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what's funny about the ceiling, though, is it really is. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay it. I love it. But when you're driving, you're not doing this, you know, you're not looking up when you're driving. So you don't really get to experience it that much. But when people get in the car, they're always like, oh, wow. You know, and they might be looking up at buildings as you're driving past. But it's almost more for the passengers in the car than for the driver.
100%. Another question on the call that I thought was really interesting was Olivia, I believe, from the Daily Telegraph. And she asked, will this be the new standard range Model 3 for $35,000? Will this be the lowest priced Tesla ever? And that's obviously ever is a long time frame.
Yeah.
But Elon actually said that he could see in 2 to 3 years making a smaller, cheaper electric car. Mm-hmm. And he stated this before, kind of like a smart car version of it.
I know he said that with MKBHD and when he interviewed him. Actually,
right. But I thought, I mean, for him to reaffirm that, I thought that was pretty interesting. And a little history lesson for you. Some of the original smart cars from Daimler, who owned them, Mercedes, actually were the batteries were made by Tesla. So, you know, they kind of have experience with that. Same with the Toyota RAV4 EV also has Tesla batteries in it. So. From back in the day. I think they discontinued that in like 2014 or something. But
yeah,
those were all Teslas.
Which is one of the very few early EVs out there in the beginning.
And it was an SUV of all things. Yeah. Probably the first electric SUV. Yeah.
Well, so this brings up an interesting question. So where do we go from here? We have the 35,000 Model 3. They're probably not going to make a cheaper Model 3. I don't imagine. Mm-hmm. So the next one up is the Model Y, which is going to be introduced in the next couple of months, we think. And do you think they're going to just start at a $35,000 model? Do you think they'll like do like they did with the 3 and like start premium and go down from there?
Yeah. They'll do that to try to recoup all the upfront costs, all the CapEx, because as far as we know, they are building it at Gigafactory 1, which was rumored. Then there was a leaked document. Yeah. Then Elon stated on the last earnings call that, yes, they're doing that. Or he said that's the default plan, unless like something drops out of the sky that's better. That's what they're doing. I think that's we can kind of count on it at this point. So in order to do that, they need to build out, you know, the general assembly lines and all those kind of things. I mean, all the other stuff is already there, right? All the making of the battery packs, as well as the powertrains and those things. So it's all already there. So, but they're still going to have to
build
out.
And they're using like 75% the same materials or whatever from the Model 3, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So that should speed things up. Hopefully we'll get an unveiling in a month or two. And then we will see deliveries mid next year. I would be optimistic on that. By late 2020, I would imagine. And yes, I'm buying one.
Sight unseen.
Yep. Absolutely. We'll see if I end up keeping it. I've just succumbed to the fact that I'm going to own many, many Teslas in my life, and that
it's
is not a bad
your
thing.
Job.
Yeah, no, I buy them with the business, so it's not. Yeah. But it's funny. I am hitting a point where I need a garage to put them in, because people
okay,
in my neighborhood
Jay
Leno. People in my neighborhood are starting to wonder what's going on.
There's always a party at the Sullins house for some reason. There's all these cars out front.
It's so weird, honestly.
Parking on your lawn.
Yeah, in my neighborhood, on my street, you know, small neighborhood, whatever subdivision built in the 50s, probably 7 Teslas. And they're all Model 3s except for my Model S and my neighbor's Model S. But yeah, people will stop by that have Model 3s that live in the neighborhood and just hang out and chat with me if I'm like outside, you know, washing the car or kind of something like yeah. that. So it's kind of
I told you about the time the lady in my neighborhood that has a Model 3 literally like followed me to the coffee shop as I was driving to do some work and was like stalking me and wanted to talk. It was like, okay, all right.
That's funny.
We drive the same car. That's okay.
Yeah. Now, something else on the call that I thought, and I did see this question because I posted a video this morning about kind of a lot of what we just already talked about.
Right.
The standard range does have fewer battery cells. It is not a software limited mid-range or anything like that. And that goes, and that was actually Fox News that asked that question on the call, interestingly enough. The thing that brought up was Elon's comments about the way he described getting this, being able to make this car and sell it and remain, you know, profitable, was he called a game of pennies, and that there are roughly 10,000 unique parts and processes that go into making a Model 3, and that they each cost around $3.50. And what they need to do is get it down to $3 in order to cover, you know, all the overhead and everything else and remain profitable. So a game of pennies is apparently, you know, Elon's theme for being able to chip away at all these little things. I think the glass roof is a really interesting thing that they kept. You know, I'd love to see whoever did the analysis on that and said, you know, it actually will be cheaper if we just keep the same one. So let's just do that, you know?
Well, I don't know anything about building a car and how all that works, but I've always been curious, like when they talk about, like you just said, the standard one is going to have a smaller battery pack, and obviously batteries are a huge part of the cost, so a smaller battery pack makes a difference. But anyway, like the console, how much more money does having the console that we have versus the console that the standard is going to have, like how much cheaper? I don't know, like the part of me is like, if they're already making this,
yeah,
wouldn't it cost more to like retool to make a different design as opposed to just pumping out more of what they're already doing? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how all that works. It's interesting to me.
Well, it's like why there's Braille. Well, not that we do any of this anymore, but it was a funny joke back when we were kids of there's Braille on the keypad on a drive-through ATM.
Yeah.
And you know, I was like, what, why? And of course it's because it was just cheaper to make them all with Braille versus some with and some without. Yeah. So whatever. I agree, that makes sense. My guess would be that they probably just had to look at mostly at materials cost, or mm-hmm. if there was something complex about the installation of a part that added labor to it, right? Like if that whole center console is just one piece and you fit the one without the cell phone holder and the one win and the one with the same way, and so labor doesn't make any difference, then it would have to be just the materials cost itself, right? Like otherwise how are you saving money on that? So yeah,
and that
it's
would be pennies.
Maybe it might not even be a penny, considering the volume.
Like the game of pennies here, like it's really coming down to just like little tiny fractions like that.
Yeah, if it could be 3 pennies off that cost, then they're good. Let's do it. You know, it's 3 pennies count.
And can I get a little like conspiratorial or tinfoil hatty here about the fact that like he has to get the price down to $3 on the Model 3? Is that a coincidence?
Yes. I think so.
Is this congruency in the universe? Like, what's going on here, man?
Future episode.
I see what's going on behind the scenes here.
Have you ever done any episodes on numerology or people that study numbers and get real weird with them?
No. Funny story, though. I don't think my mom listens to this. For a while after my parents got divorced, my mom was dating some interesting dudes, and for a while she got into sort of like numerology stuff, and at Christmas one year she actually like did a numerology thing on my name, and I was like, thanks, mom. That's the weirdest Christmas present I've ever gotten. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and what was the answer? Did were you doomed to live a life?
The answer was I rolled my eyes through the back of my head. So I don't even
you were
remember.
Stuck looking at a camera for the rest of your life.
That's what it said.
Yeah, amazing. It works.
The fortune cookie. So here's my big question. So sorry, going back to where I was going earlier. So we got the Model Y coming out. I'm just kind of looking ahead here. So you got the Model Y in the next couple of months. Also starting this year and next year, there's the Roadster, next gen Roadster, the Semi. And I'm guessing after that might be in, you know, like you said, by 2022, 2023, a very low model $25,000 kind of car possibly, or $20,000 car.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know anything beyond that? I mean, I know that's several years in the future, but
well, the pickup.
Oh yeah. The pickup. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a big one. And presumably you'll have a pickup will be the first one will be probably a large heavy duty, you know, not commercially like common type car or type vehicle, for a lot of money. And then you'll have a smaller, cheaper, you know, watered down version of that later, kind of like the S and the 3 and the X and the Y. So I think we'll have, you know, they'll have those, and those could do really well. I think there's actually a lot of pressure on them now to do it, which is great. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I'm sure Elon would probably agree that, that it's cool to see companies like Rivian and even Ford, working on an electric truck, which forces Tesla to do it. So, I think that's it. I mean, like where do they go from there? He talked about this vertical takeoff and landing plane type thing. Oh. And I mean, who knows?
He talked about that. I thought he was like really against that whole idea.
No, I mean an actual plane, not a flying car. Jet
passenger plane.
Yeah. So, but that's like pretty far. I think that was the Recode interview with Kara Swisher. So I can't say that. Sorry.
Yeah, I know they're trying to work on battery airplanes eventually. That does seem pretty far down the road, though.
I just saw a couple posts about it. There's a company that has one, and
but they're pretty small now, though, right?
Yeah. It's the energy density is the problem essentially, right? It's too heavy. You can get enough power, whatever. It's not like impossible to make that. The tech works. It's just the weight is too much. So
yeah. So I'm really curious. You know, what was it like 400,000 reservation holders, and I've been saying all this time that a lot of those people are probably waiting for the $35,000 model because that's how it was introduced and that's how it was presented, and now it's here. And I'm just kind of curious what happens next. I mean, are all those people going to jump in and buy it? Are they going to have reasons not to? I mean, just playing the doomsday angle here, like doomsday, but like, I mean, what if these $400,000 I can't talk anymore. what if they don't wind up buying in the way that we think that they're going to wind up buying? Like what happens then?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I believe Phil LeBeau from CNBC asked that question on the call essentially. And Elon, the idea is, okay, like let's fast forward a year. Right. When whatever pent up demand, people waiting on stuff is gone. How many cars do you think there will be demand for worldwide for the Model 3? And Elon, you know, saying this is complete speculation, you know, don't take this as guidance, blah, 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 was about 500,000 Model 3s per year, which is a healthy amount, you know, in comparison. You know, the Ford F-Series sells 900,000 a year and is like far and away the leader of an individual model being sold. So,
and is he talking specifically about Model 3 or across their?
That was just Model 3.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think he said 100,000. Well, what they've said in the past is 100,000 or so S and X. But, you know, then again, you have to think about China or just Asia in general coming online with Gigafactory 3, as well as right-hand drive countries like Australia and the UK. And so there's you know, still big areas of the world which don't have these vehicles whatsoever. There's places like India that don't have them at all, zero. You know, they do not sell them there. even in South Africa, I believe they don't sell them, which I get a lot of comments about, because Elon, of course, is from South Africa. So
yeah,
it's kind of, people are like, hey man, what the heck? You know, it's like, well, he had a really crappy childhood, so you know, this is why.
Screw them.
this is the penance for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see for sure, you know. And then as you get the Model Y, that I believe is a bigger segment in terms of auto sales, in terms of the types of autos being sold, and then pickup trucks being the largest in the United States anyway. So, you know, they could be making, I think I put it at 2021, they should be over 1 million cars per year, which isn't too far away, man. So, yeah, I mean, then what happens? Then, you know, I really see the long-term future of Tesla being the battery play, where you have maybe dozens of electric car startups that are just building on top of Tesla's platform, and they have their own nuances, or, you know, things that they're doing to draw people in, that the going 400 or 500 miles on a charge and charging up super fast with the supercharger network is just, that's just what all cars have. Yeah. You know, I kind of see them becoming more of the Qualcomm, actually. I don't know if I talked about that example before, but, you know, making the parts for the other car companies would be a big thing. Like Daimler, the van, the Sprinter van that they make, and Elon publicly saying he likes it, would like to do a collab with them. I think that'd be super cool.
Yeah. Kind of jumping around here a little bit, but when they talk about closing the stores, I was wondering if the energy part of their company is going to take a little bit of a hit, because I feel like that is the place where people can go if they're interested in solar panels. Like, that's a huge investment and they want to talk to somebody about it. And maybe there's not a place for them to go to talk to somebody now.
Yeah. So I wonder how much, how many sales they generated through the stores for that kind of a thing. Cause typically you have to have someone come out to your house, right, and look at it and do an assessment and all that kind of thing. And then, really, when you talk about Tesla Energy, you're talking about the commercial side, because the consumer side is like nothing. It's like peanuts compared to the commercial side. I mean, these guys are installing, you know, 1 megawatt hour packs left and right. And I think Elon even said that there was going to be a gigawatt hour a commercial project that they're doing this year. So, I mean, I think the energy side is booming. But it's not on the consumer aspect. It's on the commercial side,
and that's why it doesn't get the attention that.
I mean, it will.
The cars do.
It will as it grows and as it shows up more prominently on the balance sheet. I would say it's still a pretty significant portion of their overall income and all that. But I wouldn't be surprised if that turns into what AWS is for Amazon. And if you guys don't know the reference, AWS is basically what powers the internet. something like 70% of websites you visit all run on AWS. Yeah. Netflix all runs on AWS, right? So every movie anyone in the world streams from Netflix is. So anyways, and this is
Amazon Web Services is what that stands for.
Right. And that accounts for something like 90% of the profits. Now, they don't post a profit because they're just reinvesting it on growth. But the point being, like, that is like 90% of their profit is that one line. You know, it wouldn't be surprising if Tesla starts just going absolutely bonkers with batteries, commercial side, making huge profits, and all that money is funneled back into pushing, you know, supercharger growth and things like that.
Yeah.
So
interesting. It'll be cool to see what happens next. I'm really curious.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of sales and whatnot.
So what do you have working on, Joe? What's up next?
I've got a video on Monday that I'm sure is not going to split a crowd. It's about the post-truth era. The fact that we're living in a post-truth era now, and what social media has kind of done to our reliance on what we believe is to be truth. I can talk. it's basically, you know, like we're not all on the same page anymore. And I kind of do ask the question, like, should everybody have a voice? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is it a net positive for the world or not? We're still trying to figure that out. So that's kind of,
it reminds me of Stephen Colbert's, was it the first episode he had his section called The Word, And it was always so good. And the first one I remember anyways was Truthiness.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was about how, yeah, truth is whatever we agree it to be in today's world. It's no longer objective fact necessarily.
Well, and it's not about what is true. It's about what feels true.
Mm, interesting. You know?
This feels right because it fits my narrative, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, confirmation bias.
So I've had a good string of popular videos, and I thought I should just blow that out of the water by doing one on a subject that is going to piss off everybody. So
yeah, no, I'm with you. That's my approach too.
Things are going well. Let's firebomb that.
Yeah, next week. Do I have the charts up? Oh, this is, yeah, I do. Check this out. So here's a little sneak peek for folks about what I'm showing next week. Give me 1 second. I'll bring it up on stage. And we have it right here. So I'm talking about self-driving cars next week. And this is actually not a popular topic on my channel at all. So this is a blow it up kind of moment where, yeah, I'm sure no one will care. But I saw this report out that basically said Waymo is like just crushing it. You know, like there's just, they got so many miles racked up in autopilot or in autonomous mode and all this. And like, I'm not trying to bash Waymo, but the data that they selected was using these DMV reports from California, which only qualify level 3 autonomy and above. So Tesla's autopilot doesn't count. Now, Elon was on a podcast recently called ARK Invest, which is all about autonomous driving, among other things. And he was talking about basically every time that someone is in autopilot, they're collecting that data. But especially when someone intervenes with autopilot, when they take over, that is a strong signal that tells their algorithms, their machine learning models, basically how to get better. And so even though they don't have level 3 and above, my argument is, yeah, that still counts, though. That's still real world data of an autonomous driving system. And in fact, it's even better because the person is telling the system what's right and what's wrong just by how they're driving. Right. And that's what Elon basically said, right? It's not just me saying that. So then if you look at Tesla to Waymo, here are the miles driven in autonomous. I had to classify this as level 2 and above. So Tesla in November of 2018 publicly stated that they had then driven, or their fleet had driven 1 billion miles on autopilot. And I've estimated that they've got 46 million additional miles since then. And then Waymo, similarly in July of last year, said that they had driven 8 million miles on autopilot, whatever, and that they were racking up 25,000 a day. So you just extrapolate that out to today, and they're now at 13 million miles. So give or take, but you're looking at over 1 billion miles to 13 million miles. And yet the narrative in the self-driving space, at least from some outlets, is how Waymo is just destroying everyone else. And I'm looking at it going, yeah, I think you guys are missing a few of the numbers here. This isn't quite. So I just kind of go deep into that next week.
I think especially once they get their neural net chip out,
yeah,
and it, you know, increases the processing so much more. I mean, I think it's going to surprise a lot of people what they're suddenly capable of with all that data at hand.
Yeah, what it comes down to really is whoever has the most data will win. That's it. If you go back to 2012, there was a thing called, I think it was called ImageNet. There was this computer vision, which is one aspect of AI. And it was just trying to teach an algorithm to guess things. Like, what is this? Is this a hot dog or, you know, not hot dog, whatever. And they went from something like 70% accurate, I forget, you know, someone will correct me on this, to like 87% accurate. They made like a 10% increase, and that it like doesn't happen. That just does not. You don't jump that big. That percentage increase that late in the game. You get like quarter percent increases, right? And the way they did it was they basically invented what we now know as machine learning. So rather than a what Elon and others call a heuristics approach, where you essentially have a list of if-then-else statements, like mm-hmm. if you see this, that's a hot dog. If you see this, that's not a hot dog, whatever. You will eventually reach the limitation of human intelligence, right? You will hit a point where your brain cannot come up with more if-then-else statements. And so that essentially is the limitation of the system. So instead, what they did is they just fed it millions of images and took millions of people labeling them. And not millions of people, but millions of images being labeled as what the image was. And then it kind of learned on its own based on those results how to predict better what the images were. So this is kind of the birth of what we now call machine learning, and then that spawned deep learning and neural nets and AI and blah, blah, blah. Like that whole thing we have now, kind of one significant point in it in any rate, is that competition in 2012 when ImageNet was created. And so the answer isn't whoever makes the best software. The answer is who has the best data. And that was my argument, essentially, is like with over a billion miles driven in an autonomous fashion with drivers themselves self-labeling when something goes wrong, everyone else, the next competitor is 100 times behind them. It's not even a contest, right? It's like, I was telling my buddy, it's like me and Kelly Slater trying to catch waves. Technically, there's a contest here, right? But not really. There's not really a contest here. But yeah, we're both in the water, right? It can happen. So... There's my completely spoiled version of next week's video, which you will guaranteed not go watch now.
Yeah, there's no point.
Yeah, just forget it.
No, that's interesting. Now I will watch it.
Well, thank
you. Got
you,
one view here.
Woohoo!
So you can rest easy.
Yeah. All right, I think that's it. We got more?
For anybody watching and listening, I know this was all Tesla. I know sometimes we get comments from people that are like, can you talk about something other than Tesla? We will next week, because there will be at least the Crew Dragon launch to talk about. And, of course, it's happening. Probably by the time this comes out, it will be will have happened, the Crew Dragon launch, maybe by the time this gets released. So
English.
I would say go watch it, but you may already be past, though.
Depends how good and fast I can edit the episode. So.
But so anyway, apologies to anybody who wants to hear about more space stuff. That will be next week. But there's just so much happening right now.
It was a big
deal. I mean, Crew Dragon's a big deal. The 35,000 Model 3 is a big deal. So, you know, maybe devoting entire episodes to those things are worth doing. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, let us know.
Tell us what you think. Yeah.
All right.
And we'll have Tim next week.
Yay, Tim. We miss him. Cool. I think we did it, Joe.
Sort of.
Let's see each other
in
ludicrous
future. I normally don't participate in the ending thing.
I know, but see, you're required to now.